In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. The message you're about to listen to is from Mercy Throne Missions, Elisha, Osun State. We believe that God is going to impact, enlarge, and give you directions for God's purpose to fulfill in your life through the teachings of God's anointed servant, Apostle Ezekiel Adenipekun. God bless you as you listen.
Number chapter 4, verse 33. Let's see what the Lord will do with us here within some minutes, and then we'll have time to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Grace is a proof that God manifest his presence in your life. Grace is a proof that God has chosen to manifest himself in your life. Grace is a proof that there is a potential in you that is going to give God glory. Tonight, your life will give God glory. The only thing I will not appreciate is your quietness. When I pray, you say amen. I say tonight the Lord will take glory upon your life in the name of Jesus. Grace is a proof that there's a potential in you that God is going to be glorified with. A life with grace must never ever be confused with a life that has no grace. Once your songs are becoming the songs that the world are singing, your testimony has no difference from that which the world are testifying about. You're living your life. The result that your life is producing has no difference from that of the world. It's a proof that grace is missing in your life. Tonight, there shall be difference between those who serve the Lord and those who are not serving in the name of Jesus. Grace is a proof that there's a potential in you. It means God has a program. It means God has a plan. Grace is like a seed. I told you yesterday it's a partnership, but it's a seed. Once it is there in your life, if you nourish it well, a proof, a guarantee of outstanding result will come out of your life. Hallelujah. Tonight, I'm praying that good news will locate you. In the name of Jesus. Daddy, can I talk to you, sir? Yes. Before I started ministering, once I come in, the Lord said, I should pray with you this night. You may not take this serious, but it's going to help the children, because I'm seeing a curse of laboring too much and eating a bit. You are laboring too much. You are doing more than your energy. You are doing what three people can do per time. But I see that the income and the dividend that is coming out of that labor is too small. Tonight, the Lord is reversing that matter. If not for your sake, for the sake of your seed, so that they will not kill also, because this is a curse. So that they will not kill in the same line of the struggle you struggle. If what you have done in life had produced the result, you should have three houses in Lagos now. But I'm praying for you. It's never too late. There is something that the grace of God can do upon a man. I decree and I declare. Lift up your two hands. As I stretch forth my hands to you, those curses, they are living now. At the count of three, the grip of curse in your generation. One, two, three. Live his life in the name of Jesus. A new beginning and a new dawn is going to come upon your life in the name of Jesus. So grace, we must never confuse you. People are serving God. Others are not serving God. We must never at any point in time confuse you from those who are not serving God. This is what the scripture says. If you are singing the song of Nigeria, oh my God, it's a slap on the grace of God upon your life. You must not sing the song in this nation. You must not sing their national anthem. This government is bad. We're in recession. Economy is down. What concern me with that? David said, I will look up unto the hill. Where cometh my help? The hill is a distraction. It's just standing in my direction. I'm not actually looking at the hill. He said, my help is not coming from the hill. It's coming from the Lord. So I can be in Nigeria. Nigeria can be the hill in my life. I'm in Nigeria by citizenship. But I'm not looking up to Nigeria because my help is actually not coming from Nigeria. It's coming from the Lord. Somebody here tonight, your help is coming from the Lord. We must not confuse you. Never. Never. Your life must not give us a confusion where we look at it and say, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian too. Okay. No. That's a slap on the personality of grace. It means the existence of God in your life is not becoming real to men. It's doubtful. People are looking at you. You say, I'm a man of grace. They say, but we are not seeing it. We are not seeing it. I got a job some years ago when I was in my wilderness. And then I was employed to be a driver of a company. And then, I've shared this before, that my boss, when I got the job, then they were willing to pay me $40,000. And I was not willing to work again because at a point in time I made up my mind. I told my wife, I'm going to serve Jesus and he will put food on this table. So I was trekking like 2 hours every day to go to a location to preach and pray for people and then trek back home. I said, this is what I'm going to do with my life. Then the job came. I said, I don't want. And then one of the greatest servants of God I've ever met, Reverend Mike Oye, whom I married my wife from, told me, he said, why didn't you pray about it? Because the man was in love with me. He saw me as young as I am doing evangelism. I do morning cry 5 a.m. He said, anytime I hear your voice, I go on my knee. I said, Daddy, really? He said, yes. I've been in love with you before. So the man began to pray for me. And then he said, why didn't you pray about the job? I said, okay. So I prayed, I got peace. I got the job. My boss will carry the car that they employ me for. They will go to places. Me, the driver, will stay in the office. And at the end of the month, they pay me. Money, are you sure this thing is not a setup? I hope they are not using my destiny here. Hallelujah. And then we move from there. Somebody's letter just came now. You are looking for a job. I declare that before the end of February, you are resuming that job. So they will put me in the office and then do the driving. I say, what did you do? Do you actually employ me to be a sitter or to be a driver? Then once in a while, when they will call me, can be on the day of midweek service. One day they called me. It was a midweek service. I was not happy. I said, Lord, will you give me more chance? You know I love you and I want to serve you. Give me more chance in this job. I never knew that I've initiated something in the spirit. Then, one of the services I trekked from Malaysia to Oshogbo, midweek service. I had no money. Yes, it took me 5 hours for midweek service. When I got to church, it was 4:30. Nobody was in joy. I went to get water to wash my feet. And then I was waiting for people to come. And interestingly, those who have cars didn't come that day to the service. And while I was on the way, the Lord asked me, he said, what do you want? I said, lift me, Lord. Just lift me. And then the company, that was March. So the company sent me on an assignment to go to Kaduna. I drove to Kaduna. And then we finished the meeting in Kaduna. I returned back. I told the boss, I said, well, I saw the work you are doing in Kaduna. More grace, so the Lord will give you men. That was the statement. There's somebody here. The right word to say in the ears of your helper. Receive it now. So I just said that statement. And then the next thing that my boss, Oga Patapata, said is, wait, oh, Mr. Ezekiel, we haven't been thinking. Don't forget I told you I had a problem with education. The Lord will not allow me to go to school. I dropped out of university 4 times. Polytechnic once, making 5. I will gain the admission and the Lord say, I say, stop wasting your time. The angel, the last time the angel was angry with me, he held me by the hand. He said, I said, stop wasting your time. So I actually entered the job technically with O-level. The O-level said they didn't take it from me. I'm talking of a man of grace. They had to be a different. 6 months in the job, they asked me, they said, Mr. Ezekiel, can you manage this company? I said, oh, Ezekiel Moba. Of course I can do that. And then, April 1st, I left home. I left the job on Friday as a driver, and I walked into the office on Monday as the manager of the company. All my bosses there that I will take that permission. Oga, Mufelo Lounge. Oga, I will be late tomorrow. Oga. So I said, please, everybody, you know, I pocket. I went with my suit. Where you have been shamed and mocked, this 21 days fasting is going to make you to rain there again. So I pocket. You know, I left the office as driver. Keep family. Oh, yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See you on Monday, sir. Oh, when I was coming on Monday, I was not doing yes, sir. I pocket in my suit. And make sure it was properly ironed. I look for a good shoe. My God. I bounce into the office. I say, please, good morning, good morning. Can you meet me at the conference hall? We have a meeting. The language has changed. The status has changed. I prophesy tonight that your status tonight, the Lord will shift it. Your level is changing in the name of Jesus. The issue now is that I had no extra paper for that position. In companies, you will have gotten more degree or something for them to review your file. I was only 6 months there. I never submitted one certificate, no CV, no connection anywhere. But there is something I'm sure of. Grace is at work. I am sure that the Lord is with me. You must never be confused. For 3 years, my driver colleague, they were never happy with me. They fought with me for over 3 years. Why are you fighting? They said, we are driver together. What did you do? I said, but I told you, let's serve the God I'm serving. You must never be confused with them. Never. No. I cannot bow before you. I'm bow before men. No way. I cannot call on Jesus. My God. There's no time. Don't worry. Thank you. There had to be a difference. And I'm here tonight to declare that difference upon your life. I prophesy that whatever that is not working in your life before now, tonight receive grace. Acts 4:33, walk with me, media, please. With great grace, with great power, gave the apostles witness. You need to understand that you are not living alone. Your life must be a testimony. The great grace upon them make them to be great witness. Did you get that? It was the grace that made them to witness with power. They had confidence. Their life was not just a mere life. They are not talking about one Jesus who died. Their life became a testament that people were able to read and say, wait, oh, we know you. You are not educated. What has happened to you? Peter, why are you speaking this way? And somebody said, oh, he must have been with the master. I told you yesterday, grace is partnership. A proof that God is on your side. There is something happening to you right now. Grace will begin to speak on your behalf. In this kingdom, what kill men is not enemy, it's ignorance. My people, they perish. Not because the enemy are powerful, but for lack of knowledge. my people. So what you do with grace is at your mercy. The apostles witnessed with power because grace was upon them. What you do with grace now is at your mercy. It's at your mercy. It's like we are talking of VACC. We know God is here. The community know that God is here. You know your pastor is anointed. You know he's a man of the word and signs and wonders. What you do with the grace upon his life is at your mercy. You can join people in the church and be a gossiper, and the grace work against you. You can join the church and gather 2-3 people together and say, "Didn't you see daddy? He's looking fresh. It looks like they are eating our money in this church." Whatever you do with the grace is at your mercy. You can see him and say, "Daddy, oh," and wave at him. Wave at mommy. Mommy is carrying bag. You are looking at her. "Mommy, good afternoon, ma." You didn't honor the grace in the house. It's at your mercy. You know, daddy joke a lot, so you can make him your colleague. It's at your mercy. It's at your mercy. Instructions can come from the altar. What you do with it, I told you yesterday, is at your mercy. Grace can be available. Guarantee for manifestation is not in God's hands anymore. Grace is a seed of potential of what God can do with you. Watch how you maximize it will determine the result and the outcome in your life. Haven't you seen people who are prayer machine, fasting machine, yet their life is not showing forth the goodness of God? Check it. There is something missing somewhere. They have not taken advantage of the grace that has been supplied to them. Disobedience. I told you yesterday, sin can send God away from assisting you in the issue of your life. The apostles, they testify with great power. Your life will be a powerful testimony about Jesus to the world in the name of Jesus. Please help me with a better amen. Amen. Grace brings us to the place of advantage. What others don't have, grace begins to introduce you there. Jesus said, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom." To you it is given to know. To you it is given to know. To you it is given to know. To you it is given, not them. To you, you must understand the mystery somewhere that is not common to men. And that is the function of grace. Grace is an advantage over others. That's why I said the grace of God that appeared unto all men, bringing salvation. Bringing salvation. Grace gave the apostle powerful witness. He will give you powerful witness as well. I'm running so that we can pray. Two ways to engage grace. There could be more, but for now, this is what I have for you. Two ways to engage grace. Number one, you need to follow the principle of the written or the spoken word. It means that you must become addicted to do what God says. Some of us, we are Christian for 20 years, but our obedience is less than a year. We are so used to Jesus that when you say pay tithe, you are joining the people who are watching the comment and the post of Daddy Freeze, a man who cannot maintain a home, who has no life. You listen to his comment and then you are also arguing. Let's talk about it. It looks like this tithe thing itself. It's a lot of, we cannot even see it in the New Testament. You join them. A man who cannot sustain a home. To engage grace is to become an addicted follower of the instructions that come from the Lord. If it comes either in written, I follow. If it comes in spoken, I follow. If the word of the Lord comes to me in a meeting like this, I accept it, I believe it, and I act upon it. I will never make the word of the Lord common. Never. You hear men like Bishop Oyedepo screaming, I can never be poor. They found something. These men saw something, and they are willing to follow the principle that guide it. First way to engage your grace into your life is to become an ardent follower. You become consistent that anything the world says is what I will do. I care not how it appears, convenient or not convenient, I will follow. I was employed to be a driver, yes. I told you that part of the story. The other part I didn't tell you was that other people were able to embezzle money in the company, and I was not part of that game. They had the opportunity to embezzle money, take money, bring women, drink, do all manner of things. I would lock myself up in a room praying from morning till night. They had the opportunity to rise in the company. When I was called upon to become the manager, I asked them, I said, but there is a manager in the company. They said, no, we are actually giving him a chance to promote him to be manager. So he was just a caretaker. All this while, the company was waiting on him to see some sincerity and commitment so that they can promote him right. He misused the grace. Ardent follower. My wife was not there. There were women in that place that they were all messing up with. I refused to follow. There is a scripture. The word of the Lord is my compass. I won't compromise for anything. I follow the scripture even when no man is watching me. I never knew that the reward was there. Some of us are used to the Bible. Yes. So we read the instruction, we wave them because we think we are mature above the instructions. Fast for 21 days so that you don't need to fast in the middle of the year to solve a problem. You know, we are supposed to fast for spiritual growth. We are not supposed to fast for problems. That's why we're asking you to fast in January, and yet you can't even discipline yourself to fast. You are eating by 12. God understand. No, sir. No, sir. God does not understand. We become used to it. So see, they want to take our money again. Can't they understand? When am I even going to have savings? No problem. You are not doing me. You are doing yourself. How to engage grace? There are principles. Principles of prayer. Principles of giving. Principles of waiting. Principles of partnership. Principle of honor. There are principles you must find in the scripture if your life is ever going to make a meaning. Mommy, can I talk to you? The mommy in black. Yes, watching me. Stand up. You know, there's going to be a report very soon now that you're going to hear. And that report is that some certain individuals are going to die sudden death because they've made up their mind to stand against this family. Okay? The Lord is saying the witchcraft spirit that has been reigning and ruling. You know, the place you came from, the family, I'm talking of your husband now. There is curse in the generation of your husband, but there is witchcraft in your own generation. But as I stand on this exalted altar, we declare their death now. We declare their death now. In the name of Jesus. Mercy is speaking for you already. You will enjoy mercy. In the name of Jesus. Because I saw this battle, a lot of battle. The desire for the family, for the children to become educated and be great in life. There's too much truncating the activities of demons, the witches and curses had kept the family on the spot. But after tonight, you begin to experience a speed that you have never imagined. As I stretch forth my hands, let the grace of God come upon you. In the name of Jesus, receive your deliverance now. At the count of three, 1, 2, 3, let your destiny be delivered from witchcraft in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I'm trying to do that as much as I can so that we'll be able to cover more. Engaging the scriptures, the grace through scriptures. Spoken word, written words. Psalm 119, I believe verse 105. King and prophet David was saying, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If I can find your word, it's not possible to walk in darkness. I have a guarantee that every other person can be stumbling, but I will not fall, because your word is a lamp. Your word is a lamp. I will stay with your word. It will guide me. Your word will become the compass of my life. Isaac was in the land. There was famine. And he wanted to escape to another land. The word came. Stay. Sow here. Stay. Sow here. And the man, Achan, it looked foolish to begin to clear the land. And you are sowing into a land where you know there's no rain. But because the word says, sow it now. The man sowed, and he got bountiful harvest. In 2021, you will not struggle. Help me with a better amen. You will not labor in vain. You will need to engage grace by being... You need to become a fool in following the scriptures. Instructions that come from the Lord, follow them like if you don't know what you are doing. Look at verse 89. David says something also. Verse 89. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It means that anything... Let me show you something. You know, the power of the Lord is invested in his word. The power of the Lord is invested in his prophet. The power of the Lord is invested in his words. Every God does not need to appear to you anymore. Once you follow the principle that his word gives to you, that principle has the potential to do what God can do. Because the word of God is God. So anything the instruction says, for instance, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. You know what that scripture is saying? You just follow the principle. Give. As if you don't know what you are doing. The principle of giving you back is already kept inside that instruction. That's how to engage grace. It's an advantage. It will make sense because everybody will advise you. The more you save, the more you have. In this kingdom, the more we scatter, the more we save, the more we gather. Thank you, Daddy. The principle of the world says save. Save 40% of your income. That's how you can gather money. But in the kingdom, he say, the more you spread, the more you gather. The more you spread. He said, cast it upon the waters. You don't even know which one is going to return. He said, those who sow in tears, there is a guarantee of returning. You see, you can keep saving, and then you will die one day. The Bible said, a fool is gathering wealth and riches without knowing who is going to spend it. But in this kingdom, when you sow in tears, there is a principle that says you are going to come back. You will come back to reap it. You are going to come back. A guarantee. I'm using sowing because that's the most difficult part in the life of believers. Unfortunately, it's the greatest advantage we have over the world. Unfortunately, because even for God so loved the world, he gave. God had to sow a seed of Jesus in order to have many Jesus on earth now. word. Engage the word as a principle, and then a lot of things will begin to happen in your life. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he said, man shall not live. There is a dimension at which bread can assist a man physically to live. But that's the best, the word the bread can do is to give you physical energy. Man cannot live by that. Man cannot live, because the Bible says in Genesis, when God formed a man, the level at which man exists of a dust, man became. So man was without life. When God formed man from the dust, there was no life. But something had to happen. The Bible says, and God breathed into that man. That man now became a living being. So man never became a living being by just being a man. There was an influence over a man that made him to become a living. So if you sustain your life by bread alone, you will not live. Can I repeat myself? If you live your life only on the principle of bread, you will not live. You know, I was in a vision when I left now. I just finished writing the message, so I knelt down, I was praying, and then I saw Dr. Miles Moreau. I said, you are a dead man, what are you doing here? You know, he said, I'm leaving. That's what he told me. I said, how can you say you are leaving? I said, you are a dead man. He said, my work speaks for me. I said, Lord, what is this? God said, you need to do the work of legacy that will last after you are gone. Kenneth Higgins is long gone. Today, his work speaks more in his death than when he was alive. Man shall not live by bread alone. If all you care and all you run after in this life is how to get a job and have salary for bread purpose, you are joking. You can't live. You can't live. You can't live. Your spirit will remain dead. You can't live. There are so many things that will be happening in your life you can't control, because the only realm that you are existing is in the realm of the flesh. You are living by bread. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone. So what shall you live about? He said, by instruction that comes from the Lord. Instructions. Become an ardent follower of instructions. You'll be a fool. When man slap you, give them the other side. Can't you fight? No. The word says, I should persevere. Love is patient. Blessed are peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Matthew chapter 5. If I am the one that she did that into, I'm going to fight. I'm going to show her that I'm not a mate. But you remember the scripture. Matthew chapter 5. The scripture says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm not going to keep malice. I don't care what you do. I want to see God. Man shall not live by bread alone. Some of you, some people have offended you now. And you have promised you will never let go. You also need to forgive my sister. Not my sister. You. Eh? You need to what? Let's forgive. Because you are holding some ransom in your heart. You have to let go. You have to forgive. So that everything God has in place for you can be delivered. Because the scripture says, forgive our sin as we forgive those who sin against us. If you don't let go, it can be another stumbling block to hinder the joy that God wants to deliver. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please let go. Let go. Mommy, I want you to let go as well. I'm picking some things in the spirit. That mommy behind the mommy in beret. Mommy. Eh? Yes. Yes. The mommy behind. Please. Whatever offense in your heart, whatever offense by any man or anyone, I want you to let go. Okay? Please. The Lord bless you, ma. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the instruction that proceed from God. And I told you, those instructions can be written words, they can be spoken words. You know, people can be wicked. They can waste your life, your time, especially women. When men begin to misbehave, you know, women can be funny at times. And then you tell them, don't worry, I'll wait for you. Don't wait for them. Please don't wait for them. Allow God to do the fighting. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. Let me leave that portion now. The Bible says, for the promise of God are yea and amen. Thank you. For all the promises of God. Look at something. Pay attention. In Him. You can keep claiming promises because you are in church and you claim you are a Christian. You may not be in Him. The promise of God begins to work for you when you dwell in Him. In Him. In Him. You remember John chapter 15 verse 7 says, it said, abide in me and let my word abide in you. Then you will ask anything and it shall be given to you. It's not enough to claim promises. Do you abide in Him? John 15, 7. Abide in me and my words. Plural. My words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done. This is how we engage grace in this kingdom. When all is said and done, you have followed principles. You have obeyed God to a point where everybody say you are a fool. Then God comes and say, I already told you, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. Am I making sense to you this evening? The Lord will give you understanding. Say louder, amen. Numbers chapter 23 verse 19 said, God is not a man that should lie, neither the son of man that should repent. Has he said it and he will not do it? Numbers 23:19. It's not a man. Whatever instruction he gives is available. The blessings behind those promises are guaranteed. How we engage grace? We engage grace by following the scripture addictively. Number two, how do we engage grace? We engage grace through prayers. Through prayers. Grace is a support system you will need to walk with deliberately. Grace can be existing in your life. If you don't play your role and your part in the place of prayer, grace can keep ruminating over your life and there will be no manifestation. You remember that the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters until God spoke. You will need to speak for grace to act. Do you hear what I say? You will need to speak for grace to act. It can be available in your life. The ministry of prayer is not a joke, it's a commandment. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray. And then he told us a story about a woman who went to see a judge who doesn't know God. Told us a lot of story there. But the point is this, Jesus commanded it. He said, men ought always pray and not faint. You ought to pray continually. Continually. Prayer must become your lifestyle. Some of you have only prayer life in the church. It won't do you good. Men ought to always. So even at your work, you are praying. You don't need to shout. You don't need to shake your head. You can communicate without making noise. God is not deaf. But you have a colleague, you always discuss the latest designer in town. Have you seen that Gele? You have not seen? It's called Otto Gele. This one is Otto Gele too. You are? Bring, let me see. This one is not Otto Gele. It's a HD Gele. You spend the whole day discussing Otto Gele and HD Gele. And the angel is waiting. Madam, can you ask? The scripture says, up until now, ye have not asked. Ask! That your joy may be full. Ask! In 2021, VSCC, we will not joke with prayer. Please, we will not joke with prayer. We will become deliberate when it comes to the subject of prayer. You remember that this is why we have some advantage in this kingdom. If you don't follow the principle I gave you first, you are going to have problem with the second principle. Because James chapter 4, I believe verse 3, James 4, 3 say, ye ask and ye receive not. Why? Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You see what I'm saying? If you had followed the principle of the scripture, if the word had guided you, there's no way you ask amiss. You will pray according to his will. So we will engage in prayer. First, we keep the first principle, and then we go into the second principle of prayer. We must pray. We must pray. Prayer is not an option. If you want to make a difference in this life, you must develop a strategic prayer life. You must pray. You must pray so that you not be a prey. Psalm 65, verse 2, he said, O thou that answereth prayer, shall all flesh come. O thou that heareth prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. There is a God in heaven who says, ask, and it shall be given. Knock, seek, he promised to answer if we will call upon him. There is no point serving a God who does not answer prayer. He promised, if you ask, I will answer. And then he gives you a principle for asking. By his will, if you follow the principle of his will, the word that proceeds out of his mouth, it will guide your prayer time. It will guide your prayer lifestyle. It will guide the principles of how you cry unto God. I'm praying for you tonight that every prayer you pray henceforth, you will receive answers. I wish you can say a better amen. Amen. This is how we engage the principles. This is how grace can be at work in your life. Anytime you want intervention from heaven, they check your record. How consistent have you been in keeping to the instructions? He said, when I call, ye did not answer. He said, ye also shall call, and I will not answer thee. God said, let's go to Canaan. And they said, no, we are going back to Egypt. We are going back to Egypt. God said, what you have said. They said, we better we perish in the wilderness. God said, what you have said, no problem. So will I do. So will I do. Are you here tonight? And you are trusting the Lord that grace will begin to work for you. These two principles must be kept. And I pray as you begin to keep them, the doors that have refused to open are opening for you tonight. Can you rise on your feet and let us pray? I want you to speak to the Lord. I receive grace to engage these principles. Let me tell you something. If God says he honor his word, he exalt his word more than his name, who do you think you are? You want to be partial? You want to be half obedient? You want to, no. You know what the scripture says about disobedience? It said it's as the sin of witchcraft. That's how serious disobedience is. Father, I receive grace to follow your word to letters. I receive grace to follow the principles of your instruction. Please open your mouth and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. I need you to pray now.
We believe that you've been richly blessed through this message. For prayers and counseling, please contact the ministry on 0703-914-2529 or 0802-090-1803. Mercy Throne Missions, recruiting God's future generals for purpose with passion and power.